Aloha. Welcome to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Each week we talk about health and fitness, but nothing replaces a visit to your own primary care provider. Today we're going to be talking with Claire Santos. She's a nurse who's had many years in all segments of healthcare in the entire arena. Inpatient, outpatient, you name it, she's done a little bit of all of it. We're going to talk a little bit about the nursing model, about how telehealth has changed the medical profession, and about some steps we can take to try and restore the trust and the way that we can be patient-centered in our way of taking care of individuals. Because, Claire, we're all going to need healthcare at some point, as we already do, and we want to make the system as best possible for everybody. So thank you for joining me today on The Body Show.
Thank you for having me again, Dr. Kozak. It's a pleasure.
Now, you've had a variety of different lives in nursing. Tell me about some of the roles that you've had in the past.
I've worked in acute care, in burn care, emergency nursing, critical care nursing, a little bit of flight nursing, and then I moved out into community health, public health, home health. So I've been through a lot of different specialty areas along the course of my career, and most recently into the telehealth foray now.
Now, you've described before the nursing model of care and how it's kind of different than the physician model of care, particularly as you grew up as a nurse. What's the basis of the nursing model of care? How is that different?
Our roots as nurses started in community and public health. We've always been out in the community, being the visiting nurse, the home health nurse, the person who's out in the field, doing the assessments and the care and reporting back. And that's how we maintained continuity of care and patient-centered care.
And in the hospital, it would be really being the one to provide day-to-day, hour-to-hour, most of the care to patients. I mean, doctors will round, will tell people what to do, will go about seeing other patients. But the one who's there at the bedside all day, it's not the doctors there.
Nope, the nurse is with the patient all day, all night, and not just the patient, but their family and other loved ones. We are the go-between. In addition to providing nursing care, we've been the middle person, the educator and the translator of what the doctor just said. And we serve many roles in our service.
Have you seen that model continue, or are we starting to see a shift kind of away from that model in the way that you see what's happening these days?
There's been a shift for decades. With a nursing shortage and a medical shortage, we started training unlicensed people to provide higher levels of care. We started training families to do more care in the home. There have been many transitions over the years. Now we have telehealth, and patients who, especially on Outer Island, their only contact with their physician is on their phone. They're doing their telehealth visits, and nobody's really got hands-on happening frequently at all. So this is a big change in how we provide service now.
Are we missing things?
We can. One of the things I noticed, I was doing rare disease management, and over time I realized, gee, a lot of these people are taking opiates and opioids, and is anyone watching this, you know? We need to keep better track of what's happening, because in telehealth, it's easy to lose track of the person. So they'll have a telehealth visit every 6 months with their physician. The nurse is calling in quarterly to check on them, and that's when they get the hour-long conversation to really tell what's happening in their lives.
So you mentioned you were doing telehealth, and particularly for rare diseases. In general, telehealth includes a variety of different modalities. What would you describe as the most common modality you were using to reach out with patients?
For myself, in my last role, it was telephonic. We were using the telephone, but I had the computer up and I had access to all of the person's medical records right in front of me. So I could get a history before I made the call. And know how to direct my questions. Where did I want more information, and how are things going in certain areas?
Do you think adding a video component is essential, helpful, distracting, all of the above?
I think it's helpful. I think you need to at least see the person that's talking to you. Having done home health, when people talk to me and describe their home or how they're moving about the home, I have a visual of that. If you haven't done home health, you don't have that visual. So to have the cameras on is to the advantage of the patient.
As long as it's easy for them to do it. You know, I know in the very beginning when COVID hit and everything changed to video visits, you know, I didn't know how to do them any better than my patients did. And we've had quite a few missteps of, I don't know, I can't hear you, the microphone's not on, or the camera's off, or, you know, there were a lot of glitches, and a lot of that was just, for me, my own lack of technical prowess. I kind of had to get better at it to be able to really be able to guide patients to use it. So I kind of think for video, if possible, ideal, if you can't come in person, there are certain circumstances where it may be more convenient, and there's a value to that convenience. But do you see that there might be circumstances where the value might not be there and we're not reaching out the way we ought to?
Different people require different ways to communicate, to be treated as patients or insured or members, whatever you want to say. I'll stick with patient. Communication is different, so we can't cookie cutter how we provide this telehealth care.
I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and I'm here with Claire Santos. She is a nurse with decades of experience in pretty much every facet of healthcare. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about doing things like telehealth for rare disease and outreach. How does it work, and what might that do to help people to take better care of themselves, or hopefully help providers to be able to reach out to them and meet their needs? We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here with Claire Santos. She is a nurse with decades of experience, and we're talking today about the nursing model of care and how that fits into a telephonic telehealth practice and what that can do to help patients who may not be able to get in to see their doctor. But what are some of the precautions we have to consider to make sure that we use it for the right patient at the right time? Now, right before the break, you were saying, you know, we can't cookie cutter this. Different people have different needs. We need to be flexible to be able to respond to the needs of the patients.
Absolutely. That's at the core of nursing, is to treat each person as an individual. You'll notice in the hospitals, we have case managers who are keeping track of things, especially in the critical care units. We have that out in the community as well. So we have case managers who will, say, handle a patient who's been hospitalized or is having some sort of crisis or has an acute need. And generally, we have care manager nurses who provide the more holistic and hopefully the preventative type of care, keep track of how the person's doing, offer suggestions of possible better ways to do something. We have the conversation with the patient to see what works for them. And we allow them to work through the process of what they may or may not need and come to their own conclusion of what could be best for them.
So based on what you're seeing, what could we do better?
With a physician shortage and a nursing shortage, you know, our tasks are great. I think we have established through the American Nurses Association and through specialty nursing areas continuing education. So the nurse is always up to speed on particular disease processes, communication skills, community resources. We absolutely need to know the resources for any person. The case managers as well. We can all board certify in that specialty area after a certain amount of experience and continuing education. So we need to keep ourselves up to current standards. And nursing has its own set of standards for each specialty area. So we need to be sure that's happening so that the best qualified nurses are caring for the patients and have adequate knowledge of that disease process or that injury.
Do you think we have enough robust resources available so that people know what's out there? You know, I mean, I often think to myself, wouldn't it be great, and maybe this exists out there, a list of, here's all the services, you put in your information, it puts you through some algorithm and tells you these are the services you would qualify for, here's how to apply, click here, here's how to get this information, we'll have someone contact you, kind of make it much more patient friendly instead of, if you don't know about it, you know, your physician doesn't know about it, maybe you hear about it from a social worker, maybe word of mouth. I feel like we just don't have the coordination of it as well as we could. Or am I just not seeing what's already out there?
Well, you're actually on point because we also have a shortage of social workers. And they are the greatest help in the community. They know the resources. And if you don't have a social worker on your staff, you're missing out on all available resources, especially post-COVID when so much has changed and no one really knows what the resources available are anymore. And, you know, Medicare and Medicaid, the rules are constantly changing. And the insurance companies, same thing, you know.
So where do we go from here?
We need to have a more cohesive, collaborative model. Nurse, physician, social worker in particular, any outside services, whether a person's needing physical or occupational therapy, any types of therapies.
Kind of that team-based care approach.
Yeah, we have it. We got it going in the hospital pretty well. Everyone's in one building, so it's kind of easier to do it. But out in the community, we need to create that model and support that model. Keep the patient centered care happening, that is the core of nursing, and have everybody else available. And we can refer to social worker and they can contact the patient and help them. You know, I had a lady who was living in her car. I had to, you know, I don't know all the resources in town. She's living in her car with two dogs. Where can I send her? I had to get the social worker involved immediately, get her to a safe place.
So if we look at what we could do, we know we have shortages in certain specialties. Are there any ways that you could think we could consider some of the efficiencies that computerization can provide that could actually help to make it easier for people in their, given the current resources we have, the lack of ability to duplicate everybody and clone us and multiply us? What are some ways that we could use what we've got to make it better?
I think we could use our databases more effectively so that as a nurse, now over time you get to know what the community resources are and you don't always need to get to a social worker because you've gained that knowledge. But to keep that current database of what's available under which insurance plan.
Maybe standardize that. I mean, I think, you know, you talk about insurance and what does Medicare cover? What does Medicaid cover? What do Medicare Advantage plans cover? What do commercial insurers cover? If everybody had a basic standardization, these are the basics.
Yes.
That might actually make things a little easier for anybody to be able to know what's available.
A lot easier because it could be available to the patients as well. But you as a physician, if you're prescribing a particular therapy, the patient would then see there are three different places where they could go that they can call and make an appointment.
So that would really be patient empowering.
Yes.
Not just patient centered. Now we've moved to patient empowered.
And people want to be in charge of their own care as much as possible. Those that I've talked to, they've got chronic diseases, like rheumatoid arthritis, something like this, they know what works and doesn't work for them. And I would never interfere with that. The nurse is the listener in that role. We're the listener to find out what do you do to help yourself. Providing them with even more information about what's available is something they would show gratitude for, I guarantee you, you know, because they like to make their own choices, and well, they should. So,
I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show. When we come back, we're going to talk more about a patient-empowered model of care and what that might include. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, here with Claire Santos. She is a nurse with decades of experience in pretty much every facet of healthcare that nurses participate in. And we're talking today about nursing models of care, patient-centered models of care, and patient-empowered models of care. Right before the break, we talked a little bit about that team-based care approach and how that might really help people to take charge of what their health needs are. You mentioned certain people with complex diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, they may actually know more about what works for them than even some of their doctors do because they're living the experience. How do we tap into that as a resource?
We ask the questions and we listen. We can learn so much. And this is why patient support groups have been successful, because folks who have the same disease, and I'll bring up again rheumatoid arthritis. They support each other, they share information, and even those do have to be monitored somewhat because people come in with their ideas that aren't really evidence-based, shall we say. But patient support groups are very effective. But for the person to sit, for me to develop the trust relationship and the person to sit down and talk with me on the phone and tell me what works for them, what doesn't work for them. It also helps them work through their own plan of care because they're telling me about it, and sometimes they'll say, oh, you know what, that doesn't really work so well. I need to try something else. And that's when I can have suggestions.
Well, yeah. In that discussion, when you have to explain it to somebody else, you often have to know it at a higher level for yourself to understand it. And just verbalizing that can help to reinforce it with them.
I've had some amazing conversations with patients, especially on outer islands where they don't have access to care like we have on Oahu. Some of them do have to fly here to get their care. They make it work. They figure out how to make it work, and sometimes they can't. If there's no doctor, there's no doctor. Some of the docs fly out to the outer islands periodically. It's keeping that communication open by whatever means is effective, whether it's a video, telehealth, or a telephonic conversation. I like the video because I can get a sense of the home surroundings. Is someone in a hoarder house? Is someone in a hovel? Do they really have in the house what they're telling me they have? Or is it safe? Is it a safe home? There's a lot you miss out on a telephonic call that's really important. But to keep the person telling me what they're doing for themselves and what works and doesn't work, and I can put that in the document of the conversation and relay that to the doctor. So we keep everyone informed of what's happening, and, you know, good ideas can come from anyone.
You know, I often think of when I first started in medicine, you know, hospital charts were on paper. I remember writing a lot of notes. And now everything is computerized. There's pluses and minuses to that. But, you know, a whole generation of doctors and nurses are all doing things on computers now, electronic health records. And so they're not going to go backwards to that. So when we think about the education of our next generation of nurses and doctors and providers, what do we think we have to change in the educational model to help mirror what we think is going to happen in the real world when they're out there in the workforce?
We can't lose, in my opinion, we can't lose the narrative. We've gone to checklists and checkboxes and standardized questions for each disease process that don't follow any conversational tone whatsoever. It's like a staged interview. Don't lose the narrative. That little paragraph that you write about the person that comes from your assessment of them will speak volumes.
What are some of the success stories that you remember for patients that you really had the opportunity to truly listen to partner with them, and to empower them to do better for their care?
A lot of my patients were so involved in their care, in their plan, and in implementing their plan. Sometimes I didn't feel like I had the greatest value until they told me, "You're the first person who's listened to me in a year." Some of the way these models are set up, the nurse is time limited. Finish that interview in 20 minutes, and I can't abide by that. I let the patient lead. If they want to talk to me for an hour, realize a lot of these people are shut in. They're not getting out of the house except to go to the doctor. So when the nurse calls, they have everything they want to talk about. And that is just fine, because that's what nurses do. We listen. And the person feels respected and honored. So I can say the best thing I've done for the most people is to be the listener, because that's what was needed.
Do we teach that enough in schools these days?
No, we teach ask these 10 questions and get out quickly. It's dehumanizing, in my opinion. So I'm going to be the old school nurse and listen to my patients and ask if I can make suggestions, because that's how we respect people, and not force anything on anyone. So allowing somebody that freedom and that time to express themselves is worth its weight in gold.
And once you establish this relationship, it helps you to be able to build on that. Do you feel as though the ability to take that time initially pays off dividends throughout the time that you interact with those patients? It's not always going to be an hour every time, but boy, if you put it in the beginning, it might really help you towards the furthering that relationship with that individual.
And I agree, you have to put the time in to establish the relationship first. There also has to be an ease of communication. There's something different in the last position I held, where the person couldn't really call me if something went wrong or something I set up for them needed an adjustment. It was a real convoluted process for them to get through to me. We need to make sure that communication is a two-way, that there's somebody going to answer with knowledge, hopefully the nurse they're trying to reach. So I'd like to see that communication improve.
Remove those barriers.
Yeah.
Have to call 5 different people. Do you think that kind of comes from a concept of shift work? I mean, you know, if you want to talk to Nurse Claire and she works Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays and you need her on a Thursday, she's not available. How would you incorporate that into this patient-empowered model?
The way it's supposed to work is whoever is on call, if there's a nurse on call to take incoming calls, they would be able to pull up the electronic record and figure out what's going on. And I've had that work very successfully with one person in particular that I was very impressed. And the nurse was somewhere on the mainland, which is another thing that's odd, is we having mainland nurses doing telehealth in Hawaii. That's, you know, with our culture and our language differences, that can be problematic. But in this particular case, a nurse did an excellent job of quickly reviewing the file and being able to help the person work through the problem.
So let's think about what our perfect patient-empowered model would be. We've talked a little bit about having robust resource access databases that are kept up to date. We've talked about the team-based model, where you have the patient, you have the nurse, you have the physical therapist, you have the doctor, you have the the psychologist if needed, the social worker. You kind of have that whole team collectively working together and supporting one another to help the patient with their needs. But you've also talked about making sure the patient has access to resources. We've moved a little bit in that direction with patients having access to their medical records. Do you think we've moved far enough to giving patients the tools to self-activate when they feel they have a problem, to really be able to start harnessing their own power to address that problem?
I think that's one of the biggest barriers that patients face, is how do they address something, you know, on the doctor's day off or the nurse's day off or in general? How do they access resources? How do they access people? We're missing that in the telehealth model.
Is there a way you can envision that we could get it?
You know, in the physical environment, we had a nurse on call, and even at lunch break, someone had to be in, nurse in, had to be there to field phone calls and direct things. I think we simply need to do something like that. And I'm not... Because we had this hybrid going where we had a couple of local nurses and a bunch of mainland nurses fielding calls, my perspective is a little bit off, because the telehealth model brings in foreign nurses, so to speak. So it's harder to see what's going on with your cases if somebody from, you know, North Carolina is handling your patient and you don't know anything about it. We need better communication internally.
So what's next for you? You've been a nurse in hospital settings and home health settings, in all different settings, telephonic settings. What's next for you in the nursing profession?
Oh, I don't know. I keep trying to be retired and failing, so I keep coming back in. I do like the telehealth model. I like to be able to have that contact with patients, check on them periodically. They know when I'm going to call again. I want them to know how to reach me or a nurse on call. And, you know, we'll see.
Electronic medical records, do you think we have a hope of getting better, more streamlined, making it more patient-focused as opposed to click box, check box?
We have to do better. We have literacy levels to consider, health literacy and general literacy. So it's amazing to me, a lot of these Outer Island folks are doing their telehealth, and I'm so happy and proud that they're doing that. And but they don't have a computer. They can't really print things out. There's stumbling blocks, but they've got the basic. I can do the visit with my provider. We need to empower them and provide, make sure that we get resources to them so they can be more functional, more involved.
All right. Well, I thank you for sharing your expertise with us today on The Body Show, Claire. You clearly have a good vision for where you'd like to see the nursing model come back to center and really put the patient in the focus of that, as has always been with the nursing education and experience. So I do hope that we're able to move more towards that. And, you know, if you want to hear this show again, hear about some of the different models of care that could be out there, you can click on hpr.org, follow the links to The Body Show. Our engineer is David Chong. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. We'll be right here next week and every Monday right here on The Body Show. We'll see you then.